If it take running somebody down, we got to satisfy that hunger, that thirst for it. Amen. Come on and say hallelujah. And so he said, you got that in your members. You got that in the land where you live. Come on and say hallelujah. He said, not only do I have the Sidonians and the Canaanites, he said, but I got the Hittites. And what the Hittites mean, the Hittites here, it means a terrorist. I got those that make the things that make me live in fear. I'm fearful that one day my blood pressure gonna go so high that I'm gonna stroke out. I'm fearful that I might contract some type of disease. I'm fearful of cancer. I'm fearful of Alzheimer's. I'm fearful of all this stuff that could happen in my land. I wish I had somebody. And so you got those Hittites that are living there. Amen. And so when he start talking about all of this, he said, you got those, not only those Hivites, but the Hittites, but the Hivites in verse 3. And what that means, that means the villagers, those who are tribal. I just do what everybody else do. If they put a bone in their nose, I put one in mine too. I don't really know. I just follow whoever. I just do what everybody else do. And the thing about the Hivites is that they were living near Mount Hermon, and they lived in a village, but the place of Mount Hermon represents the place of the blessing, where God commanded the blessing. And instead of them going to the blessing, they just rather stay in the village with everybody else. And so we got that in us. We sometimes belittle ourselves, and we can't see ourselves having the blessing. We doubt ourselves about getting what God has in store for us. We doubt ourselves about coming into unity with others so that we can have victory in this life. I wish I had somebody. That's what Psalm 133 reading. He said that there is where the Lord commanded the blessing. He said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious ointment. It's like the oil that flowed from the hair, even down to the beard and upon the skirts of Aaron, the priesthood. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that some of us are just like the Hivites. We live in the place where the anointing flows, but we won't get under the anointing. We live nearby the place where God command the blessing, but we won't go to the blessing. We doubt and we fear, and we won't take the next step because ain't nobody in my village taking that step. So we'll just hang out right here because I'm satisfied with the little bit I got. I'm satisfied with not taking a step of faith. I'm satisfied without taking a leap of faith. Do I have anybody to say, I'm tired of being a Hivite and I'm going to step out on faith and I'm going to become all that God wants me to be? I hope I help somebody today. Lord have mercy. I'm just trying to give you a picture here, trying to show you the shadow, what God is saying to us. He says in verse 4, they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. I like that. You know why? Because if God commanded, that means his commands didn't change. He said, I gave them to the fathers, and I want the sons to do it. I gave them to the fathers and the mothers. I want the daughters to do it. Amen. And what we find today is that people are saying that God changes his mind about stuff. But the Bible said God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So to all those preachers who are saying that God changed his mind about certain things, I want to tell them that they are lying. The truth.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Kempe, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Kempe, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want you to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Mark. We'll be reading from the 6th chapter, Mark chapter 6. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this wonderful opportunity we have to hear your word. But more especially, we want you to minister to our spirit man, share with us principles that we might practice so that we might profit from them and give you praise. We give you glory for this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Mark chapter 6, and I just want to lift out verse 26 for your reading. And it says, "And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, a celebration gone wrong. A celebration gone wrong. When we look at this word today, my brothers and sisters, it's important for us to understand this is Herod that we're speaking about, who had a fear of John the Baptist because of who John the Baptist was and whose John the Baptist was. Because of his righteous living and his righteous word, Herod had found himself on the opposite side of truth. And because of that, he found himself in a particular place that was quite difficult to manage in the presence of righteousness and truth. And usually folk who do wrong don't want to be around folk who do good. Evil doesn't want to dwell or exist in the presence of righteousness. Let me just walk back through the text and bring you up to date, and then we'll get to this celebration gone wrong. Verse 14 says, "And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." Verse 15 says, "Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet or as one of the prophets." Verse 16 says, "But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." Verse 17 says, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her." This is where the problem began. John told him, "Man, you can't marry your brother's wife." And now that he's convicted of the fact that truth has come to light, he's dealing with this. But Herodias, his now wife, his brother's ex-wife, is at the point where she's so furious with John. The record is, if she could have killed him, he would have been dead. But she couldn't do nothing about it in and of her own power. So she hid those things, as it were, in her heart, and she kept them at a place at a moment's notice where if she could use the hostility and the anger of a righteous man telling her that her unrighteous deeds were unrighteous and still living, she would use that opportunity to have John killed. Look at this word, because again, verse 19 says, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John. She had issues with him, and Herod feared him, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Verse 21 says, and when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, listen at this, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. As you keep reading the passage, you begin to see how this thing unfolds and becomes more convoluted as it goes on. Now, Herod has already married his brother Philip's wife. Philip wasn't dead. Y'all will catch that on your way home. But now, Philip's daughter, Herod's stepdaughter, is obviously a young woman who is quite shapely and quite experienced in the lewd and lascivious dance. She knew how to turn heads. She knew how to make men look. She knew how to work her hips. She knew how to drop it like it's hot. Excuse me. You know, I want to keep it real with you so you get the real picture. Because it was his stepdaughter. He looked at her and watched her move, and his baser instincts kicked in. He got so excited by this young girl's movement that he already had her mama, his brother's wife. Now he was looking at her with a bad eye. And so in the midst of this, the mama, help me in just your will, knew that she had a husband that had some issues, because she set the daughter up to appeal to his baser instincts. Now listen at this, because it's all in scripture here, and you'll see it if you will. The Bible says, again, let's back up just a little bit so you can understand. And when, verse 21, a convenient day was come that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came, just the fact that they put it like that says that something is up here. The said Herodias, but it's putting it in the context of the fact that this woman has something up her sleeve. Listen at this, and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him. The king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. Now, you know she must have put on some kind of dance. I want you to just look at this now. The king tells this damsel, this young lady, I will give you whatever you ask me of. And later it says, up to a half of my kingdom for a dance? I don't believe you're getting this here. She must have danced a dance that danced all in his head, that caused him not to think with a prudent thought. And he says, I will get, just ask me what you want. All right. Now you got to realize he's thinking, perhaps he's setting her up for future dealings. Because why else would you give her a half of your kingdom unless you had a place for her different from where she now serves? Listen again, I want you to see this word. Bible says, verse 23, and he swear unto her. Now he puts an oath to it. Listen at this. Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. Now look at what happens next. Verse 24 says, and she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. One man lost his head figuratively, and it caused another man to lose his head literally. You see, my brothers and sisters, when we begin to see this celebration gone wrong, we need to note some of the reasons for why it has gone wrong. And you'll discover that even in our own lives, when we start off with an idea and a design to have a wonderful celebration, we've got to be careful of the underlying motivations, not only in self, but in those we invite to the party. Because see, sometimes people we invite to our celebration will push us further than we want to go. Will suggest some things that we might have thought of but would not have acted upon. But here we're going to note that the first thing that went wrong in the celebration was Herod's passion. Somebody say passion. Passion is a powerful emotion. It is a powerful thing. And the wicked deed of Herod came as a result of his passion. Herod's now wife, Herodias, knew of Herod's passion, knew what moved him, knew what got him worked up, knew what made him tick. And so when he set up the celebration, no doubt she suggested, why don't you let my daughter be the entertainment of choice? Why don't we let her do a special dance that she orchestrates just for you? It'll be a private dance just for you and your guests, but it'll be focused on celebrating you. Well, Herod, being the man that he was and being filled with lewd and lascivious passions as well, thought it to be a wonderful idea. No doubt the young woman had caught his eye in a very unusual and corrupt manner. And so yielding to that, he allows her to be the spotlight of entertainment after the feast of his celebration. But one of the things that you'll note again, that this never would have happened, even if the dance had gone on, had Herod been right underneath the skin. You see, it don't matter what folk do before you. It doesn't matter what happens in your sight. If your heart is right, you can turn your attention elsewhere, turn your focus off, not let your mind wander, because there are times when you'll be caught in situations where you don't want to be. And it don't mean that you're weak just because you're in a place where you ought not be, that you fall prey to the temptations of the enemy. You got to control your own mind. You got to let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Yes, be clear about it, that the wrong entertainment, just like the wrong communication, corrupts good manners. Yes. You can't think holy thoughts in a strip club. Now y'all go sitting there acting holier than thou. You can't think no Jesus thoughts while you're watching pornography and illicit movies. You can't think nothing that's holy and righteous while you're watching or engaging in something that God is not a part of. Because here's what you must realize as well, that you're made of dust and divinity, and while the first one might not catch you, the second one may. And if the second one don't catch you, just keep on, and it will appeal to your baser instinct. In other words, if the devil don't catch you with the first selection, he's gonna keep on till he gets what you like. And so when he deals with this, he sees this, his baser passion instinct kicks in. And now he's appealing to the flesh. That's why we've got to be careful about our flesh. even when we're in the spirit. Don't we ever act like our flesh will not ever rise up again just because we are in the spirit. We've got to protect our spirit. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we need to be careful even with just the appearance of evil. And so you can't keep being holy and righteous, finding yourself in unholy and unrighteous positions. And so now he has allowed his passion to put him in a place where he cannot back down because of the pride connected with his passion. Let's read the rest of the text because it goes on and says something else. When we look at this word, the Bible says that she came back and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. Now, she answered the king's question of what do you want? Now, the text is clear. She didn't want that. Her mama did. Mothers, be careful of the influences you have on your daughters, because they both were going to pay for that decision. Now, here again, it shows you the deviousness of Herodias' heart, because she's still mad because John told Herod he was wrong. She's still dealing because she's convicted underneath the skin. And she's one of those folk who believed, if I could kill the messenger, I can kill the message. She was one of those who believed, if I could get rid of John, I won't be convicted like I am about this situation. But what she didn't realize was it wasn't John, but the spirit that John had in him and the word of God that he had in him that was convicting her. And so even now, on a convenient day, on a day now when everybody else had probably forgot about what John had said, it was still in her heart, and she was there waiting to get it out of her. Herod was unaware of what was going on. Herod didn't know that she had used her daughter to get his attention. She knew, no doubt, that Herod would probably do something like this, and if he did, what a wonderful opportunity to ask the head of John. And so she asked the head of John, and verse 26 says right here now again, and the king was exceeding sorry. Man, it hurt his heart now that he realized he had been set up. His heart was hurt because, one, he knew John was a righteous man, a holy man. He was a good man, and he knew he was wrong. And I got news for you. If he didn't know he was wrong by now, this opportunity surely made it clear he was wrong in the choice of Herodias. Listen at this. He now is sorry like he has never been sorry. His sorry exceeded sorry. Exceeding sorry means sorry being exceedingly so. His sorry was like none he had ever experienced before because of this thing now that he's a part of. His passion got him in trouble. Anybody's passion ever got him in trouble? You ever got in a place you wish you hadn't been in, but your passion got the best of you? Tell somebody, watch your passion. Because the devil knows your passion, and listen, he'll light it up on high fire around certain people. And so he let his passion write a check. He really didn't want a cash. Listen at this. So many politicians, so many leaders, so many prominent men, sports figures, entertainers, etc. Lives are in ruin and shackles because their passion got the best of them. Passion will fool you because passion is all about the flesh. Passion doesn't give afterthought to the act. It simply sets you up for the act. And it takes no responsibility for the consequences of your act, because it's all about a feeling. And if you allow your passion to set your life on fire, then in ruins will your life end up. So passion was the first problem. But secondly, we see not only was his problem passion, but his problem was also priority. Look at what the word says. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake. Listen to that. His word. His word's sake. He got set up and his pride wouldn't let him readjust his priorities. He could have said, wait a minute, after all, he was the king. He could have said, baby, I said my kingdom, not John the Baptist. He could have said, no, I didn't mean including humans. I meant material blessings. He could have come back and clarified, if you will, what he was talking about and limiting it now to certain things. But his pride, see, she had put him way up there. And those around him were dignitaries, and they were the upper echelon. They were the muck the mucks, and his word was supposed to be his bond. So now that he spoke it and the girl made her request known, he could not go back on his word and still feel good about the integrity of giving his word. So he prioritized, listen at this, his word above God's word. His oath above what God said. And see, pride will make you think you're more than what you are. Pride will make you think folk reverence you or revere you or look up to you or highly esteem you greater than they do. Listen at this. And so because of his pride, he kept his word above God's word. And so when you see that, my brothers and sisters, that passion fueled his priority, making him make such a crazy decision. His word had more authority than the word of God. And so this was a part of the things that John preached against. And now he's convicted and sorrowful. And yet he still won't change his mind. You see, when the enemy gets to working on you and work on you good, and he works on your passion and works on your priority, you'll discover then that you're too embarrassed to humble yourself, to say I was wrong, to say I messed up, to say it shouldn't be like this. But when you prioritize your will above God's will, your word above God's word, and your way above God's way, it's more about you than it is about God. And this is the reason his sorry state continued. Here's something else I want you to note that added to his celebration going wrong. He had passion problems. He had priority problems. But guess what else he had? And it's right in the text. He had people problems. You know, some of us are messed up right now because we have allowed the wrong people to influence us. We've made some decisions and we've made some choices on the recommendations of some of the folk around us and didn't know that they didn't mean us the best of good, or even if their intentions were good, that those intentions didn't come from God. And so here he had all of the upper echelon around him, surrounding him, celebrating his birthday, listening to him, and they were also making their voices known as to him being the king high and lifted up. And so while he thinks he has their loyalty and their allegiance, he's made a decision, and now that would surely affect how the people will think about him if he comes to himself and says, I changed my mind. So because of the people, look, it's in the text. It says, and for their sakes. And the king was exceeding sorrow, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. Now here's what the text is saying.